and ye shall serve the Lord your God. I shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, talking about the spirits of the world, nor do after the works, but ye shall utterly overthrow them. I'm thinking about how Jesus overthrew the money changers' tables. God has called us to dominate and to overthrow the spirits in this world. Many people think that we are to take a subordinate role in this world, but God has called us to be the head and not the tail. He's called us to be above and not beneath. He's called us to dominate, not to be dominated. Now, verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. I remember one time in Sweden, there was a general strike, and we lived at that time in Stockholm. What happened was this: in this strike, people panicked and they bought everything that was available in the stores, because nobody knew how long this strike would last. Well, we were a little slow, so by the time we got to the store, there was no bread left. But we had one loaf in our home, and I didn't give it much thought. Every day, we'll cut some bread for breakfast, cut some bread for in the afternoon, for dinner, and for supper, for lunch and for supper. And after a few days, 2-3 days, something like that, I started thinking about that this loaf of bread that we had, that we actually still had some bread left. And I asked my wife if it was the same loaf, or if it was another loaf of bread, or if it was the same. She said it was the same. Can you believe that this bread lasted for the duration of the strike? At the end of the strike, which was a little bit over a week, or about a week long, and bread was now available in the stores again, that loaf of bread finally ran out. God blessed our bread. I believe it was the angel of God that touched that bread and blessed it. I'm telling you some stories here that some of you might not believe, but nevertheless it's the truth. Remember when Jesus had bread, the loaves and the fish, in his hand, a boy's lunch, and he had this 5,000 men plus women and children to feed. He took the bread and he lifted up, he thanked the Father and he blessed it. And as he broke the bread and gave it to the apostles started handing out the bread. I believe the angels of God just anointed that bread and blessed it. He was anointed because it was in the hands of Jesus. He's the anointed one, the eternal Son of God, Jesus the Messiah. And he blessed it, but it was the anointing that touched that bread. And they were all fed, and there were 12 baskets over for the young one. That's how God wants us to break what we have and put it in the Master's hand as we give unto the Lord in obedience to His Spirit. And as we give, it's multiplied and we get a return. Remember, he had one lunch at the end of giving to Jesus what he had, he ended up with 12 baskets full. God will bless us as we release into His hands what he has put in our hand. So, I will bless thy bread and thy water. The children of Israel walking through the desert, no bread, no food, but manna from heaven, angel bread. Give us this day our daily bread. It's one of the prayers, the prayer that the Master told the disciples to pray. So the Lord wants us to ask him for bread. As we are aware of and obedient to the angels of God, to the voice of the Spirit, to the Word of God, He will bless our bread. And thy water. Bread alone is not going to do it. We need the bread and the water. Hallelujah. Feed our spirits with the bread of God. And our spirits grow. And the water, of course, is the Spirit of God. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. These are the benefits that come automatically as we're led by the Spirit of God, as we are aware of the angel of God. He will bring us blessing. He bring the blessing on the bread. He bring the blessing on the water, what we eat naturally as well as spiritually. And he takes away sickness from us. We can walk in divine health. We can walk under divine protection. Psalms 91 says in verse 10 and 11, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thine ways. Well, you dwell in a home, but above all you dwell in a body. In that body you dwell, and there will no sickness touch that body as we walk in the perfect will of God, as we are led by the angel of God, as we obey His voice and are aware of His presence. Remember how the angel of God brought healing to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was attacked by the forces of hell and they tried to kill Him prematurely. He was perspiring blood, but the angel of God came and strengthened Him. The angels assisted Jesus in His ministry before He was born, when He was born, when He was alive in His ministry, when He died, when He rose, and finally when He ascended on high. The angels were all the time a part, a vital part of what was going on. About four books, if we say the epistles of John, if we treat them as one book, then it's four books. They're not speaking about the angels. So the angels are a very, very important part of a Christian everyday life or the plan of God. Angels are involved all the time to bring the plan of God into its fullness. The angels will lead us into the place which He has prepared for us. The children of Israel were led by the angel of God, and of course it's a type of how God wants to lead us. We are the new covenant Israel, the new covenant children of God, and the angel of God will lead us as we are allowing the Word of God to give room to the Word of God in our lives, and also hear the voice of the Spirit of God, hear the voice of the angel. He bless our bread, He bless our water, and take away sickness from the midst of thee. This is talking about not only divine healing, but also divine health. And I'm a living testimony in my family to the divine health and the keeping power of God. God doesn't only want to heal us, He wants to keep us in health. He wants to keep us in health so that we can serve Him. So many times in my life, I've experienced the touch of the angel of God to strengthen my physical body. I was on a tour singing Madam Butterfly and fell into water, ice water, off of a canoe. Was to sing that night. Everybody thought we had to cancel because it took me about 20 to 30 minutes before I got into dry clothes. And of course it was cold. And normally the body being subjected to something like that would have a reaction. You would catch a cold of pneumonia or something of that nature. We came back to the hotel. I could feel the fever attacking me. I can start feeling how my voice was leaving, how my body was starting to shake and shiver. I had to stand firm on the Word of God, went to the theater anyway, didn't say anything, didn't have any voice at all when I stepped out on that stage. But as this was a tremendous pressure that I was under, and everybody was asking, how are you doing, how are you feeling, and I didn't say anything. I just nodded, fine, you know. And I knew if God didn't touch me, it'd be scandalous. And we had to cancel the performance. People paid tickets to come and hear us perform, and there had to be something worth listening to. But the Lord had told me already not to have any substitute singers, so I knew that God had to kill me. God had to heal me. So anyway, I knew the Lord would have to heal me. He would have to touch me. Sure enough, I was standing on the stage, felt like I was going to faint. Everything was moving. But when the music started, I felt the angel of God touch my body. And as I opened my mouth, I could sing with a free and clear voice. Glory to Jesus. He will take sickness away from us when we listen to the angel. He will keep us in divine health and healing. Exodus 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now this is talking about how God protected the children of Israel against the Egyptian. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The Holy Spirit, the angel of God, protected and kept Israel, and the Egyptians could not get closer. The waters were divided. It divided up the water, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand, on their left. And the Egyptians pursued. This is the type of the devil. He's so stupid. He's dumb enough to think that he's going to beat God, and every time he loses. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. They didn't realize the miracle here, and they're just in blind pursuit, stepping in the water that God is keeping back. And they're fighting God. What do they expect? If they had any sense at all, they wouldn't do it. They just pursued to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire, not the cloud. The Lord was looking through the pillar of fire, not the cloud, and troubled the host of Egyptians. Who troubled the Egyptians? It was the angels that were fighting. Remember what God said, I will afflict those that afflict you. Those that fight you, I will fight. I will bless those that bless you. Now, the Egyptians are afflicting the children of Israel. Therefore, God is afflicting the Egyptians. And took off their chariot wheels. These were the angels. They were jerking off those wheels over their chariots, that they drave them heavily. Can you believe how dumb the devil is? Or even if the angels of God jerk off the wheel, they keep on going. Satan doesn't have any sense to quit when he is defeated. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. Finally, they're getting the message. For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Finally realized that the Lord himself was fighting against the Egyptians. He says in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So this is what, if we could just release things into God's hands. Many times we want to fight. Many times we want to do it. We want to tell people off, and we want to set things straight. But if we can release these things into the hand of the Lord, we see some powerful victories, just like the children of Israel did here. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So the Lord had already given the promise. He said, I'll fight them. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy says, fight the good fight of faith. That's 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. What does it talk about? It talks about fight holding on to what God says. So fight the good fight of faith. Faith is the word of God. Faith means to believe God. Means to, if faith comes by hearing the word. And fight the good fight of faith means to maintain what God has spoken in your heart and keep acting accordingly. The children of Israel had been told to go forward, and as they stopped going forward, they got in trouble. But Moses, as he was clamoring and complaining and calling out to God, was told by God, go forward, stretch forth thy rod, go forward. I told you to go forward. And God asked him, why do you cry? I didn't tell you to cry. I told you to go forward. See, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We have to act our faith. We have to proceed forward in the name of Jesus. If we're going to take the land, what God has provided for us, if we're going to experience the blessings, we have to continue to go forward. And as the children of Israel went forward, hallelujah, God opened the Red Sea as Moses stretched forth his hand, and the children of Israel were delivered, and the angels were fighting against the Egyptians, ripping the wheels off of their chariots. And when the Egyptians finally got the message, it was too late. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. This is judgment. There will be a blessing to those that yield to him and submit to him, will be a curse to those that resist him. We saw that in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. We see it here when it comes to the Egyptians. They were destroyed, utterly destroyed. Why? Because they were fighting against the angel. They were fighting against the angel that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And as they did that, they were destroyed by the same angel. He didn't want to destroy them. He wanted them to experience salvation. But because they hardened themselves and fought against God, they destroyed themselves, basically, by not accepting what God wanted, rather fighting what God wanted. That became their destruction. We're looking at Exodus 33, verse 2. I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Angels of God that bring the presence of God. In Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. The presence of God is brought by the angels of God, as we see here in Exodus 33, verse 14. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Or if we take out with thee, which is italicized, it would be, and he said, my presence shall go, and I will give thee rest. In the presence of God, there is rest. We see that the Israelites, they did not believe the promise. They are not able to enter into this rest because of unbelief. For we which have believed do enter into rest. It says in Hebrews 4, verse 3, through faith in God, we can have rest in God. Some did not enter in. The reason they did not enter in, the previous chapter in Hebrews 3:19, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Enter into the rest. They could not enter into the promised land. And they hardened themselves against the word of God. If we yield to the word, yield to the spirit, the angels will get on our side, and it will help us to get into the promised land and to get into the fullness of the salvation plan that God has for each and every one of us. But it is through obedience. The angels of God bring deliverance. They brought deliverance to the children of Israel out of Egypt. The angels of God brought judgment. The judgment came upon the Egyptians because they were resisting the will of God and not letting the children of Israel go as God had commanded. God spoke through Moses and said, let my people go. Now, Moses, when he had a vision in the desert, when he saw the angel of the Lord, when he saw the fire of God, when he had an encounter with the Spirit of God, he was anointed before he tried to do the will of God in the flesh. And he wouldn't work. But after 40 years in the desert, he was prepared by God, and he was humbled by walking in the time of preparation. God prepared his heart. Before the 40 years, he said, here am I, God, send me. He was self-confident. He had plenty. He was full of himself. But after 40 days, he said, who am I? I can't do this. He became dependent on God's power. And when he saw the angel in the bush, and God led him and showed him what he had to do. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is talking about the protection of God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. This is supernatural protection. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. For thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. The angels of God that bring peace and protection, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So when everybody catches the flu, you don't have to catch it. When everybody goes bankrupt, you don't have to go bankrupt. When everybody is hit by tornadoes and hurricanes, you don't have to be hit by those things, because God will protect you if you put your trust in him and believe his word. Only with the eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. These things have not been promised us. We need not to claim destruction. We need to claim protection, the angelic protection that God has provided for us.